Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Southside Beat. Happy Thursday. My name is Chris Halleck. I am flying solo today here on the Southside Beat. Corey Christen spent some time up in Cranberry today, handling the Penguins locker clean out day. Unfortunately, if you're a Penguins fan, the second year in a row, they're not making the playoffs. That's obviously disappointing, especially for how successful they have been. They had been for the last, nearly two decades. So, but still, we plow on here on the Steelers stuff. So we got some stuff to talk about. The thing that's really jumping off the page to me, and this is, I was afraid something like this was going to happen leading up to the draft. It's that week, and Dre right here can't stress it anymore. One more week until the NFL draft. That's right. Today, a week from today, we will be breaking down right here. We'll be breaking down final show before we know what happens in the first round. I'm excited about it. Mark says, man, they ought to give you Corey's check. You steady pull his weight, man. It's not like Corey's not working. Corey's working. He's doing stuff. Listen, both DK and Taylor are coming back from New York. I mean, we needed somebody there. Corey can do it. Why not Corey? So, this, like I was talking about, there's two dead periods that I've talked about. The gap between the Super Bowl and the Combine is pretty dead. The gap between minicamp and training camp is really dead. That's like when players are getting married and executives and coaches are taking their like one vacation before training camp starts. But this gap between the NFL annual meeting and the NFL draft is kind of that third dead period too, because they've pretty much, hit a lot of they've checked a lot of boxes that they wanted to check during free agency. Specifically the Steelers did. They figured out the quarterback position. They signed Patrick Queen. They signed Deshaun Elliott. They signed a few other guys. They made a trade. Obviously traded Deontay to the Panthers for Dante Jackson. They've made a number of different, they've done everything that they wanted to do. And so when you get to this point, it's not just the Steelers, but when teams get to this point, it's like, okay, yeah, we still might have some needs, but now let's focus hardcore on the draft. Let's take a step back from free agency. Obviously, there's still some free agents out there, a number of positions, including positions that the Steelers have needs at. And so they could still address those things, but now it's kind of the time to let's see how the draft shakes out, and then we can re-engage. There is kind of that unofficial second wave of free agency. It's obviously not as exciting. It's a lot more, hey, filling out, roster spots, but there are still some notable names out there in terms of free agents. And so, so that's what this is. And so during that time, there's not a lot of free agency going on. We're just kind of in this waiting period of the draft. And so just as it was leading up to free agency, when there's not a lot going on, rumors start to circulate, and rumors can, like, one little, even if there's a tidbit of truth out there, it can spiral into something that is completely inaccurate. And the main thing I want to hit on today is Brandon Ayuk and the rumors surrounding the Steelers' interest in Brandon Ayuk. I'm going to be very forthright in this. My intel that I have on it is as recent as the NFL annual meeting, the owners meetings. So it's been, a few weeks. It's been like 3 weeks. So my intel is a little old. I'm not like trying to tell you, hey, I talked to somebody yesterday and I know this. But Randy giving me a quick shout out on the Chalk Talk. If you haven't read it yet, 7 reasons to be optimistic in 2024. So with some film breakdown, stuff like that, some actual tangible reasons why. So appreciate the shout out, Randy. But so just really quick, I just want to be forthright in that. It's not trying to say like, hey, this is the most recent information I have. But it's very relevant information given the latest development on this. So rumors have been going on. They were going on leading up to the annual meeting. The Steelers are interested in trading for Brandon Ayuk. They're interested in trading to upgrade the receiver room. They want to add another guy to be like a dynamic duo alongside George Pickens. Obviously, that, you know, when they traded away Deontay, they need a hole, or that created a hole. And so Brandon Ayuk, because of the, you know, situation in San Francisco, the 49ers want to extend him. It doesn't look like Brandon Ayuk is and his representation are necessarily very happy with any potential extension talks. Even the day that John Lynch shot down any rumors about wanting to trade him, you know, Brandon Ayuk immediately went to Instagram and fired back in the best way that the younger generation could do it on Instagram. I don't know, that stuff is a little bit out of my area of expertise, but the latest intel I have on this, and again, it goes back to the NFL annual meeting. And I even said this, I think, in a live Q's this week on the site. I was told that it is a bunch of garbage, the Steelers' interest in Brandon Ayuk. And I am substituting the word that I was being told with the word garbage. So something a little stronger that I cannot say on the show. So you put two and two together. That was then. Now, what's happened since then, I can't tell you. I really don't know. However, what I do know is that there have been multiple times in which there are social media journalists or bloggers or whoever else that are reporting on this stuff. And it's very interesting whenever, and the one thing that I do kind of appreciate about covering the NFL complete. Yeah. No, Pittsburgh Hornets says hogwash. No, a word a little stronger than that, but yes. Yes. Hogwash, garbage, stronger word than that. But the one thing I really appreciate about covering the NFL is that agents are usually very, a lot of agents are, they're very active on social media, especially when it comes to sometimes even announcing their client signing somewhere. You know, they don't just, you know, go to contact a reporter or typically one of the national guys, either the NFL Network or ESPN. They're typically very active. And on multiple occasions, Brandon Ayuk's agent has refuted a lot of this stuff. And even as recent as today, 2 hours ago, there was I'll just go ahead and say what their bio is. NFL and NBA analyst slash host for Chat Sports. And all, I mean, he doesn't look like he was reporting it, but this is what he said in the tweet. He said, reports, : the Pittsburgh Steelers are aggressively pursuing a Brandon Ayuk trade, and the Steelers would be, quote, surprised, unquote, if they don't land Ayuk. And then he adds a note of note. Pittsburgh has the 20th overall pick. The Niners could look at that as equal value for Ayuk if they can't get a deal done. Then the Niners could draft an offensive line in huge need and a wide receiver to replace Ayuk in the early in the draft. Brandon Ayuk's agent quote tweets that and says another quote report, unquote, that couldn't be more incorrect. Fictional quote journalism, unquote, should really stop. It's good to know that whenever you're told something from a source that is very, very, very reliable, and they tell you that the interest in Brandon Ayuk is garbage, And yet rumors continue to spread like wildfire that the Steelers are aggressively pursuing Ayuk, and they're doing this and doing that. And I'm like, this goes against everything that I was told by one very, very reliable source. And obviously I can't name who it is. And yet the agent does me the biggest favor and goes out there and says, this is crap. Pretty much. Now, I'm not going to sit here and suggest that Omar Khan has never even made a phone call to John Lynch to see what it is. And maybe all it's been was, and this right here is conjecture on my part. Maybe all it was Omar Khan called John Lynch to see, hey, what is the interest level in trading away Brandon Ayuk? And then John Lynch could have responded with, we're not interested. Or here's the price. And Omar Khan doesn't even let him finish giving the response before he hangs up the phone, because it's out of this world and no way the Steelers are paying it. And that might have been again, conjecture on my part, that might have been the absolute extent of any kind of rumors. But one person hears Omar Khan called John Lynch about Brandon Ayuk. And then that one little tidbit of truth spirals into the Steelers are aggressively pursuing Brandon Ayuk. Again, my intel is very, very limited. It's 3 weeks old, but it's very substantial from a very reliable source. And it goes right in line with what Brandon Ayuk's agent literally tweeted 2 hours ago. So, and it's funny because, like, I saw something yesterday in which another Steelers reporter reported something about, and then the site aggregators get a hold of it and they say, oh, this one Steelers insider is saying that the most likely scenario for the Steelers is to trade up for an offensive tackle. And I was not named as the reporter, but you guys can attest to this. How long have I been saying that this is a legitimate possibility? I mean, holy crap. It's just funny because, like, again, anything that I tell you guys is, unless I specifically outline it with my personal opinion, .. or personally I believe, or personally I like, .. anything I tell you is based off of what I think the Steelers are doing based on what I know, or what the Steelers are planning based on what I know. It's not guessing. If I'm guessing, or if it's me trying to make sense of something, I'll tell you. Just like I said, it may be just conjecture that all that happened was Omar Khan made one phone call to John Lynch to see what happened. I don't know if that actually even took place. There might have never been a phone call that taken place. I don't know. But it's really interesting. It would be interesting if all that happened was Omar Khan makes one phone call, or Omar Khan approaches John Lynch at a pro day or at the annual meeting or whatever, whenever. And it's one conversation and that's been it. So James says, we know Chris, that's why we watch. Appreciate you guys. I'm not going to sit here and spew garbage on here. And again, I'm replacing a word that I'd rather say with the word garbage. I'm not going to sit here and spew garbage here. I'm going to give you guys stuff that I know from very reliable sources. So it's just, be very wary when it comes to any rumors. Now, there's a flip side to this, because when the Justin Fields rumors were swirling, I was sitting here telling you, I don't think it's going to happen. And then ended up happening. Number one, I never bat 1,000. Number two, I never had, that was my guess. That was my hunch. That I never had a source specifically tell me, yes, they are definitely interested in Justin Fields, or no, that's, and I definitely didn't have a source literally tell me that's garbage. So it was a bit of a different situation. Here I can actually say I have something that I can point to, legitimate source, and now, if a trade ends up happening, again, things change, plans change. whether it be prior to the draft, whether it be after the draft, who knows? But as of right now, it sure does not look like that a trade for Brandon Ayuk is going to happen. That doesn't mean the Steelers haven't made a phone call. Doesn't mean the Steelers aren't looking elsewhere to try to upgrade at receiver. They need to add another receiver. I think that if the plan going into the season is Van Jefferson or Quez Watkins as your number two receiver, I think, or even Calvin Austin, I think that's, to put it mildly, risky. So I think they definitely need to add a guy. No doubt about that. And because it's the same situation as when the Steelers were, okay, they're adding a quarterback. Everybody knows they're adding a quarterback. And so, I mean, Justin Fields was not the only quarterback they were tied to in rumors. Remember at one point they said Kirk Cousins. Like Kirk Cousins, like the rumors were like, hey, Kirk Cousins is keeping tabs on the Steelers situation. And then Mike Tomlin just flat out says, we never contacted Kirk Cousins. It's one of those things where a lot of people are throwing stuff at blindly at the wall, hoping to hit the bullseye on the dartboard. Sometimes you're going to get lucky and you're going to hit a bullseye, but every now and then, probably most likely you're hitting drywall and not even hitting the board at all. So Chris Lynn says, other bloggers saying reports, and Chris replies, I do not think that word means what you think it means. Good nod to Princess Bride there. And listen, like if there's a world or if there's a possibility that the Steelers can acquire Brandon Ayuk, I think they should be all over it. But there's me sitting here saying, I think the Steelers should try to acquire Brandon Ayuk. That could just be wasted breath because that trade may never happen. And from everything that we're seeing so far that I know for a fact is happening, I can go to Twitter and literally pull up Brandon Ayuk's agent completely shooting down these reports. I can go to a very, very verifiable source and have them tell me, yeah, that's all garbage. As of right now, I just do not see that happening. And I feel way more confident about that than I did about earlier in the offseason whenever the Steelers were tied to Justin Fields' rumors. So, again, if it happens, obviously things changed. But, and that's why I also wanted to preface that what I know or what I was told is 3 weeks old. A lot can happen in 3 weeks. A lot can happen in 3 weeks during the offseason. You know, who knows what's happened since then? So, and it's a lot, obviously it's a lot more difficult. It's really easy to get intel whenever you're literally in the same place as everybody else. I mean, we're talking about coaches, GMs, executives, just all kinds of people from every team there. Yeah. A little more difficult to get that intel when you're in Texas, but don't worry, I'll be in Pittsburgh soon enough. All right. There's been a couple questions I want to try to address before we wrap up today. I know we got a late start, but I'm really kind of pressed for time today. So let's see. Let's see. Here's one. Saw Bleacher Report mock draft where the Steelers take Powers, Johnson, and Mims. Is still on the board. Would that be a good move or mistake? I think that's a mistake, but it also flies in the face of what I think the Steelers are prioritizing. What I know the Steelers are prioritizing, not what I think, what I know. Steelers are prioritizing tackle. If you asked a question earlier, please put it in the comments again, because I might have missed it, and I don't want to miss anything. But no, that to me would not only be a mistake. There's risk with both of those players. And so if you're talking about comparing two players that both have a significant level of risk, give me the guy who has the higher ceiling. And that would definitely be Amarius Mims. Mims has the size, he has the length, and he's got 8 games worth of film in which you're going, Okay. If that dude plays like that for a more extended period of time and can continue to grow off of that, that is a, that's a dude, right? It's just when you're talking about a good amount of inexperience, when you're talking about potential injuries and health concerns, that's whenever you go in there and you begin to kind of weigh the risk. But when you're talking about just between two guys who are there, when there are risk factors with both, give me the guy who has the higher ceiling. Chris Lynn says, I want to know what Chris's dad joke of the day is. I don't have one yet. I don't know. I do love me a good dad joke though. I'm a very punny guy. I do love me some puns. And Lori says that inexperience is the only reason he might be there at 20. Exactly. If he had put even a full season's worth of film out there, like if you take the like what he's put on film, and if he were to do that over the course of an entire season, even, I think he's a surefire top 15 pick. If he does that for more than a season, he's a top 10 slam dunk. Like it's just it. When you talk about what he's done on film, what there is to work with, and as long as he's a coachable guy, a coachable kid, I don't see any reason why any team would really want to pass on him. But again, the lack of experience is a significant factor there, because you can look at anybody in a small sample size and think, oh, that guy's gonna be the next best thing at whatever position he plays, and that goes across all sports. You know, you need to see, a larger body of work in order to feel a lot more comfortable about it. You know, it's a lot different when a guy does it for 8 games compared to if a guy does it for 2 seasons. You know, that's, let's see. Mark says, I'm not banking on a Landon and Holcomb get youth next to Queen. I kind of disagree with both, because Holcomb is still young. I'm concerned about the longevity when it comes to health. But Landon Roberts, man, he showed me a lot more last year than I was expecting. And his game really meshes well with Patrick Queen. I actually think that a duo of Queen and Landon Roberts is really, really solid, especially against the run. Those are two guys who know how to stop the run. And Landon Roberts was way better in coverage last year than I expected him to be. Not saying that he's this phenomenal coverage linebacker or anything, but he was just better than I expected. I would feel way better about those two than I have about any linebacker duo pretty much since Ryan Shazier was there. So 2017. That's a long time. And it's not that great of an inside linebacker class. It's just not. There's a few interesting guys. Peyton Wilson's really interesting. Maybe if he's there at 51 and there's not a, like Roman Wilson's gone, Pearsall's gone. A couple of the other receivers that are interesting in the second round are gone. Then maybe you entertain, like taking like a Peyton Wilson guy, because you can still get a decent receiver in the third round, most likely. But it's not that great of a class of linebackers. So, yeah. And Jim has a good one. Barton or Mims at 20, who do you take? Seems to be the conversation these days. Who do I take? I would most likely take... It is tough. I would still probably take Mims, but it's really close. And I might have a different answer tomorrow. I might even have a different answer later today. That's absolutely nothing against Graham Barton. And it's nothing against taking a center in the first round. Or I would say addressing center in the first round. If you believe, and I really like what I've seen on film of Amarius Mims. And with the homework that the Steelers have done on this kid, I almost feel that if they weren't really in on Mims, they wouldn't have invited him for a pre-draft visit, because it would have already, they might have already gotten the answers that they were looking for at the combine and during the Georgia Pro Day, in which they had a full contingent there. So literally it could have been Mike Tomlin, Omar Khan, and Arthur Smith, who all met with him at the Georgia Pro Day, but they still brought him in for a pre-draft visit. So that tells me they feel good about him. I really don't know for sure. It's not a situation in which I know for a fact that they loved their meeting with Fuaga. I still might take Mims, but it's very, very close. That's not a easy decision. Let's see here. I'll take a couple more if you guys have any more questions. James says, I have a feeling Mims is the first pick. I mean, I do too, just because I don't think any of the other tackles that would make sense will be available at 20. The only way I feel like they get a tackle other than Mims is if for whatever reason there's another team that's picking ahead of the Steelers, is really, really high on Mims, and they take him, and then that allows another tackle to fall back, whether it's be Fatano or Latham or what, you know, Fuaga, you know, who knows? It's probably Mims at this point. If I were guessing, if I were putting odds out there for the most likely tackle to go in the first round, I would say it's Mims. But again, we don't know what's going to happen. It could be a situation in which all of those tackles are gone, and then you go, okay, well, what happens here? You know, do they go Cooper DeJean? Do they go Grant Barton? Do they trade back and try to take, like, maybe Jackson Powers Johnson, like 27th or 28th overall, something like that? I don't know. Brian Thomas, potential first round receiver. There's a number of different scenarios here. I just know that the Steelers' priority, if they had their way, they'd get a tackle in the first round, and they'd get a tackle that they like. Not just, hey, this is the best tackle available. Like, no, like they probably have maybe three or four tackles that they really, really love, and they would be happy with getting any one of those guys. That's why I feel like the most likely scenario is a trade up for a tackle, because I feel like if they get into a certain range, 14, 15, 16, 17, anything to get ahead of the Bengals, and there's a tackle there that they really love, that like it's their guy, like it was with Broderick Jones last year. Broderick Jones was our guy. That's the guy we were looking for. Like, that's what, you know, Omar and Tomlin were saying last year. Like, that's our guy. That's whenever I begin to think, like, the most likely scenario that I think happens is that. As long as they don't have to get rid of some significant draft capital in order to do so. So, all right. Brian says, Courtland Sutton possible trade. Hey, that's another guy. When we're talking about, you know, other ways the Steelers can, you know, address receiver, obviously the draft is another place to do it. But they can, I mean, there's still some free agents out there. They can sign Courtland Sutton, you know, possible, you know, trade target. I don't know about any kind of actual traction there when it comes to, you know, hey, this might happen, this might not happen, whatever. But there are a number of different targets out there that the Steelers can, the position will be addressed one way or the other. And that's what I keep trying to tell everybody. That's what I even said in the Chalk Talk. Like, Omar's not done. Like, he's still got more work to do. There's the draft here. Teams are kind of taking a pause from the free agent market. I mean, you can see it right now. Like, signings are not even happening every day anymore. Like, teams really taking a step back. Everything's about draft prep now, gathering intel on the draft. If there's any kind of, you know, work that was done previously with certain free agents, and now all of a sudden the agent calls and says, hey, guess what? We're willing to move off of our original asking price. Can you do this? And then the team goes, yep, let's get it done. And then, you know, certain situations like that happen. But I think teams are, free agency has now been put on the back burner while we are now a week away from the draft. And that has become the forefront for a lot of teams, if not every team. So Damon, last question. Damon asks, what about trading up at the second for Sam still? I don't know. I mean, really intriguing player. Don't get me wrong here. I don't know if I'm willing to trade up to get a guy who's going to essentially be a slot corner. I don't think that that's, I don't see that being worth it. I just don't. I understand slot corner has way more value nowadays, maybe more than it ever has, but is it worth a second round pick? That to me, I have a hard time. Me personally, putting that out there, I have a hard time investing any second round pick in a guy who is essentially. Yeah. I mean, Damon says, I think he's Mike Hilton 2.0, but was my, as a player. Okay. Let's just say he's exactly as productive as Mike Hilton was for the Steelers. Is that worth a second round pick? To me, no. It's a valuable thing to have on your defense for sure. A guy who can blitz, a guy who can help out and run support, but a guy who was also pretty inconsistent in coverage. That to me is not worth a second round pick. That to me is a guy you try to, and I think that's why the Steelers have tried to kind of play around and try to find a guy and maybe try to, you know, catch lightning in a bottle and find a guy, whether it be late in the draft or whether it be a low budget free agent signing or anything like that. To me, that's not worth what a second round pick is worth. I would rather a second round pick turn into, hey, Joey Porter Jr. was a nominee for Defensive Rookie of the Year. Oh, hey, Keanu Benton, lots of freaking potential here with this kid. Like, already accomplished pass rusher, really showed a lot of growth in terms of run defense. Talking about a guy who can play all up and down the line of scrimmage, can play anything from a zero to maybe even a four on the defensive line. That to me is a second round pick. A Mike Hilton, to me, my personal opinion. And Damon, you're right. Somebody will draft him in the second round. And I'm not saying that that's an automatically terrible pick, but trading up to get him, I'm not giving up extra draft capital to get him. That's just me. That's just me personally. We can disagree. That's fine. It's football. No, we're not going to always agree. That's fine. All right. I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up there. Great show today, guys. Really wanted to dedicate this one to really hammer this home again. Again, just be, anytime you open up Twitter, social media, anything like that, be very wary when it comes to rumors. They're rumors for a reason. And when you have literally the agent of the player that is tied to rumors multiple times shooting stuff down, how about you listen to the guy who is actually, who knows what he's talking about? So, you guys take care. Have a great night. I'll be back tomorrow. Thinking about it, maybe do, I'd rather do it with Corey, but maybe I'll do another mock draft tomorrow here live. Another three rounder. I might just have to do that one solo. If I can figure out, if I'm confident that I could do that solo by myself, then maybe I will. If not, either way, we'll have some good football conversation tomorrow. Excited. 1 week away from the draft. Hockey season's over now if you're a Penguins fan. So, hey, let's turn our attention to the NFL draft. Chalk Talk next week, we'll be focusing on that. So, excited about it. Randy, appreciate you, man. Southside Beat is top notch. That includes everyone here. Appreciate you. Heck yeah, guys. Thank you so much. Love you guys. Phenomenal job today. You guys, for real. It's never easy doing this thing solo. Cause I gotta go like completely like swig like a gallon of water now. So, all right, guys, take care. Catch you guys on the flippity flip. Peace out.